The rock art of the Kimberley is one of the largest figurative art bodies to survive anywhere on this planet. Yet, we still have really relatively limited knowledge of it. Researchers are currently working to prove just how old some of these works might be, and predictions that the rock art could be as old or older than the European cave masterpieces of Chevet-Lascaux or Altamira. Peter Veth is a Professor of Archaeology at the University of Western Australia and the Ian Potter Chair in Rock Art at the Kimberley Foundation. Tonight, he's addressing an audience at the National Museum of Australia, and he'll be saying that the Kimberley rock art should be considered amongst the great global masterpieces. Peter Veth is speaking with Claire Nichols.
The art body of the Kimberley is extraordinary. It's probably one of the richest figurative naturalistic styles in the world. You have depictions of people, the landscape, belief systems, a whole range of plant, animal, human figures, which we reasonably think go back at least 10 or 20,000 years now. And some of the current dating work is suggesting the age of some of this art will be in the same line as that from Sulawesi in Europe. It is an extraordinary art that speaks to cultural continuity and change through 50,000 years, probably.
How difficult is it to actually put a date on some of these works?
Well, the first thing I should say is that Kimberley traditional owners believe, quite rightly, they've always been there, but they are interested in other kinds of chronologies, and we bring a range of techniques, effectively non-destructive techniques, to look at symbolic behaviour in art in occupation sites. We look at stratigraphies and ancient materials and excavations in areas of better preservation. And we're seeing symbolic behaviour coming through things like ochre-covered slabs, cupule production, and beads and other kinds of artefacts in that 30 to 40,000 year age range. So it is inching up towards the early dates for Sulawesi. And obviously Europe, which was seen originally as the epicentre of high culture, for want of a better word. And as further work is done by Professor Andy Gledow and the Melbourne team, associated and cross-funded by the Kimberley Foundation and the Australian Research Council, those dates are being pushed back. And it's slow work. There are eight different techniques being used to cross-correlate the dating of the art productions in these landscapes, but it's slowly unpeeling this extraordinary, rich symbolic fabric, which is of Kimberley Aboriginal people through millennia and through to the most recent Kimberley production today.
Do you believe these artworks have been traditionally perhaps undervalued when compared to cave paintings in Europe?
Yeah, I mean, that's correct in terms of the national strategy, the national interest. It's true that the federal and state governments through time have put in discretionary funds, but unfortunately on the global scale, even by capita, it's quite small. So by comparison, the Lascaux replica of that very important early site in France, Lascaux 4, which has been completed now, will cost 55 million euros. That's a lot of money, but they get several million people through that facility every year. They're learning about, as they see it, their origins and cultural heritage. And it's therefore a major economy. It's a good regional economy. It's good for the French GDP. And the same thing could be done in Australia. Now, people are quite sensitive and not wanting their landscape saturated or visited, and that's entirely understandable. But things like virtual three-dimensional centres, say Mohenjum Arts or elsewhere in the East Kimberley, could host displays that could actually show sites with splendid art, which could be visited by old people, by children. It could be used for cultural transmission, and it could be used for the increasing number of tourists who travel through areas like the Gibb River Road and want to see sites. So it can be clever management, it can be a new economy, and it can be done in a way whereby state and federal monies can be used cleverly to invest in what is an extraordinary resource, tens of thousands of sites, millions of motifs, sure, not as well recognised and certainly by the public as, say, these famous, as I say, high caste sites of Europe and elsewhere.
We know development puts these artworks at risk. Should more be being done to preserve these works?
Look, I think we're in the era now where we need to do clever planning and clever strategizing around art so they don't get impacted in the same way that it has, say, in parts of the Pilbara and the eastern states. The Kimberley's on the cusp of a whole new era of potential developments, whether it's in the mineral, pastoral, agro centre or indeed cultural tourism. So I think there's an extraordinary opportunity to have the different communities of interest, the Kimberley Land Council, the corporations, the ranger teams, researchers who engage in both management and pure research, working together, such as our ARC projects, Kimberley Foundation supported and from the universities, working together to make sure that there is sustainable land use, that the new economies are sustainable and that cultural becomes a pivotal point in those new economies. It's been a standing issue with communities and the Land Council for a long time, but realising that in a new resource extraction and management era is the challenge. And yes, we do need to put more investment in that. It's not a sideline. It's clearly, in my view, central to the research and innovation agenda that Malcolm Turnbull has suggested for new research enterprise in the next decade.
That's Professor Peter Veth from the University of WA's Centre for Rock Research and Management speaking with Claire Nichols. And tonight he'll present that lecture, The Global Significance of Kimberley Rock Art, at the National Museum of Australia.